It's All Things Considered, member-supported Hawaii Public Radio, and I'm Dave Lawrence, artist who is a bassist, composer, producer. He not only does records and stuff, but he also has the chance to get his music into films, which is its own sort of enterprise. He has a unique connection to the radio station, too. It's Kyle Eastwood. He's at the Blue Note through Saturday night. Hey, Kyle, thank you for taking some time for us.
Oh, my pleasure. Good to be here.
Great to have you here. I mentioned that. I mean, a lot of the time when we do these things and somebody's got somebody attached to them who's a significant cat, I try not to ever, you know, I'll avoid even mentioning it at all. The reason I mention it with you is twofold. One, because I happen to know he's got a place on Maui.
I've yet to visit, unfortunately.
You've never been to that?
I haven't been to this place, no, in Maui, no. I don't even, that's probably like 35-40 years, probably. I think it was 78 or 79.
So you wouldn't even remember it. It doesn't even look the same. I guess the other thing, though, that is a much more significant connection, not only does he have a place in Hawaii that you've never visited or hardly visited, he gave us a Mercedes to our radio station to use to leverage for donations.
Oh, really? That was awfully nice of him. I've actually, I've been to the Big Island a couple times in the last sort of like 4 or 5 years. My mom has a little place there, actually, so she spends probably 3 or 4 months out of the year over there. So her place, I've been over there and visited with her.
Your pop gave the car to the station because of his love of jazz. We play some jazz on the air, then dialing back in on yourself.
Well, both my parents are big jazz fans, you know, so I grew up hearing a lot of big band music and a lot of primarily jazz they were listening to around the house, mm-hmm. You know. The odd Johnny Cash record here and there, and Ray Charles and blues and some stuff like that, but predominantly jazz. But that was the first live music that I went and saw, you know, when I was a kid, because they started taking me out to the Monterey Jazz Festival, which is where I grew up. I think I was in 1977 or so, I think so. I was about 8 or 9. Hearing the music live and seeing some of the greats actually back in the day was what kind of really got me interested in wanting to learn to play an instrument. So I started a bit on piano, and he taught me a little piano at first, and then I took lessons for a few years, and then I learned a little guitar after that for a film, actually, that I did with him when I was...
Honky Tonk?
Honky Tonk Man, yeah. So I learned a little guitar for that, and then I picked up the bass shortly after that, I think when I was about 13, 14, something like that.
Electric first,
yeah. I was just kind of teaching myself how to play. And, you know, I had a lot of friends who were musicians, so I was always playing with them. And there was a lot of guitar players and drummers and stuff like that, but not too many bass players. So I was...
You were a useful dude.
They always needed a bass player, yeah. So when I started really getting into playing bass, and I kind of switched and started playing acoustic bass and kind of focused on that for a few years and kind of went back to splitting on my time on both.
10-year-old kid, it's 1978. What were you listening to on your own then? I gotta believe there's some Kiss, some Frampton, Alice Cooper, Zeppelin. What was it?
Yeah, I mean, I was into, growing up in the 70s, yeah. I was into a lot of, you know, a lot of funk music. And I think one of the first, actually, records I remember buying was actually Mothership Connection by Parliament.
We love that.
So that was actually one of the early records. And then, yeah, I mean, definitely a lot of Led Zeppelin. And, you know, I liked a lot of rock and roll from the 60s and 70s. Then I got really into Earth, Wind & Fire and Stevie Wonder, of course, and Marvin Gaye and a lot of Motown music. So, I mean, I was always listening to music, even the pop music and I was listening to was always a little bit before, you know, all the music that my peers were really listening to. So I think they always thought I had an oddball taste in music.
What was the first rock concert that you went to?
I think it might have been the B-52s, actually. And then The Who, actually, was actually, I probably had the second one I think I ever went to. I saw The Who. The
82 tour?
82, yeah. The Clash opened for them, yeah.
Right, when they called it a farewell tour.
First of many farewell tours, I think, yeah.
Oakland Coliseum?
Oakland Coliseum, yeah. What, were you there?
I'm trying to, this is what I do. Right? Let's do the math, Carmel and the 90s.
That's right. Yeah, well, that would have been the closest place. Yeah, that was it. Yeah, Oakland Coliseum, yeah. A lot of Motown music I was listening to as well, you know.
Smokey
and Marvin Gaye and, yeah, all that stuff.
You like the older, when George first started the band, the Funkadelic records, like Free Your Mind, Maggot
yeah,
Brain, that's
what I love. Oh, yeah, I have all those, yeah.
At what point you start to realize, you know, I have the chance to maybe dedicate myself to this?
It wasn't until I was about 18 or 19 that I started thinking that I was wanted to be a professional musician, really. So that's when I got really serious about practicing, you know.
And you went to school for a couple of years and then left? Is that what the...
I did, yeah. I was there as a film major. Film and cinema and music have been the two things that I've always loved the most, you know. So I was, yeah, I was kind of entertaining the idea of maybe trying to be a director. So did a year at USC and as a film student, but that's when I was really starting to get more and more involved in playing and really being serious about music. So I just kind of veered off right into the music thing and never looked back, really.
In 82, you're 14 years old, the Honky Tonk Man thing. What was that? Like, dad wants to star with the kid in the movie. How does that end up that you get that opportunity?
He had this script, I guess, and that he liked. And yeah, he asked me if I would be interested to do it. I mean, I'd kind of grown up being around the set, a lot of the same crew all the time, you know, so it was all people I'd grown up around. And
you haven't done a ton of them, though, since on screen.
No, I mean, I did a couple little things here and there. But no, I mean, that was the main one I did, yeah.
But the cool thing is you ended up kind of incorporating both because you got the musical thing into the films at the end of the day.
Well, I mean, it's nice that I stay involved in film a bit through music, though.
You mentioned being around your pop and like the whole thing being familiar to you. When I was a little boy, the movie I used to love watching was like the one that I, Every Which Way, but which is the one that had it was an orangutan, right?
Oh, yeah, Every Which Way But Loose. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Did you get to meet the orangutan?
I did, actually, yes. Went and visited the set. I mean, I usually would visit him on the set when he was doing films, you know, for at least a couple of days or sometimes a week or so, you know. So, yeah, his name was Manus, I think was his name. In the film, he was named Clyde, but his name was his, I think. But yeah, he became very close with my dad after spending a couple months with him making the film. I had a great time, you know, making the Honky Tonk Man with him. You know, we did it over the summer, so I wouldn't miss school. And so, yeah, I mean, I got to spend the whole summer, he and I being roommates, you know, traveling around and doing the film.
Do you jam together occasionally?
Yeah, we haven't much lately, but yeah, I mean, growing up, yeah, we used to. And yeah, now and then we still play a little bit together, yeah.
When it comes to getting your stuff into movies, do you see what you have to score to? Are you looking at the image of it? Or describe a little bit of the process and how that might be different than doing a record on your own.
I mean, normally I take a look at the film, you know, either at least in a rough cut. Usually, like, watch it once and then maybe watch it again or watch some few different scenes and pick out some scenes that particularly need music, you know, that you think are the most important musically, you know, that might need a special theme for a character or the sort of general theme for the film. So, yeah, I usually do that and then take notes. And then usually get the scenes you want on DVD and then you just take it home and watch it and sit at the piano and try and come up with something. Try and come up with something that works, you know.
You sit at the piano to do it?
Do a lot of it at the piano, yeah. Or at a keyboard, yeah. And then, I mean, it's a totally different process than doing jazz, mm-hmm. You know. It's a lot of sitting behind the computer and editing and, you know, and moving stuff around. And the most fun is when you've actually written it all and you get to go in and record it with the orchestra and do it with all the musicians, you know. But it's usually like doing it, you kind of put it together with samples a lot of the time at first. So. But it's a lot different than doing jazz is, you know, all about sort of writing and playing how you want, and there's a lot more freedom. You know, film music, you're obviously supporting what's on the screen.
There was like 8 different films that your Letters from Iwo Jima, I'm not going to name them all here, but Mystic River, Gran Torino. I mean, is there a favorite one?
I think Letters from Iwo Jima was one movie that came out really well, and the music is pretty strong, I thought, so... That's probably one of the ones I'm proudest of.
Good for you. No, that's very cool. Final question, and it's the obvious one because I'm thinking, well, Maui, we're here. It's a quick flight. It's a couple $100. You rent a car. You're here. Is Clint coming over to see it?
No, unfortunately, I don't think he is, actually. He's starting to get some of his next project together. So, you know, he had a break, I think, for a little while over Christmas, and he went up to the mountains to do some skiing or something. I think he did.
Not Big Island Mountain.
No,
it's giving you a hard time.
He was up in Idaho, I think, but
a real ski area.
Yeah. No, I don't think he's gonna make it over this time, but maybe next time we'll see. I'd like to go over to Maui and actually go visit him if he's over there. So maybe next time.
Well, that's a great excuse to get you back. Obviously, yeah. You can head into the Big Island and catch Mom's place up there. But we're hoping that you come back through Honolulu, too, because it's great to have you here. And
it could be worse places to come and visit for a week.
You know? You said it, brother. It's the Blue Note through Saturday night. Kyle Eastwood doing this little All Things Considered thing with me here. I really appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on. Aloha, it's Kyle Eastwood. You and I are tuned into a show where all things really are considered with our friend Dave Lawrence.
Mm-hmm.